Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 27th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have with us Vince Blackerby. Vince is our Director of Operations here at Mountain Brook Baptist and a longtime member, and so we thank you, Vince, for joining the podcast today, and we look forward to a time where we can talk about things of life and faith when you finish the readings from the Project 119.
Thank you, Mary. I'm proud to read today. I'm Vince Blackerby. I'm going to be reading first from Ephesians chapter 3. And a little ahead of this, it starts awkwardly. Just so you know, Paul is talking to the Ephesians. He's reminding them that they are one in Christ. They're no longer foreigners or aliens, but one of God's people, God's household. So we begin with Ephesians 3, chapter 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and the prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's peoples, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And now a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Next, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 98. This is a psalm of praise, as most of the psalms are. And in this, there's going to be three progressive stanzas. One to the worshiping congregation at the temple, second then to all the peoples of the earth, and third to the whole creation. So Psalms 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvations of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. I'm going to read now from Ezekiel chapter 29. And in this, Ezekiel is sort of laying the law down to the Egyptians on behalf of the children of Israel. 29. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak to him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great monster lying among your streams. You say, the Nile is mine. I made it for myself. But I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your streams stick to your scales. I will pull you out from among your streams and with all the fish sticking to your scales. I will leave you in the desert, you and all the fish of your streams. You will fall on the open field and not be gathered or picked up. I will give you as food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air. Then all who live in Egypt will know that I am the Lord. You have been a staff of reed for the house of Israel. When they grasped you with their hands, you splintered, and you tore open their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke, and their backs were wrenched. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will bring a sword against you and kill your men and their animals. Egypt will become a desolate wasteland. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
Thank you, Vince, for joining the podcast today. We're so grateful that you've taken the time to read for us. Now, I've known you for a long time, but I don't know all of your history. Tell me where you grew up. Tell me about your family and a little bit about things like that.
Well, thank you for having me, Mary. Grew up in Bessemer, Alabama. My wife is Elise. And we have two kids, Ben and Julia, who grew up in this church, baptized in this church. And it's interesting that when we got married, we were living in Homewood. We were trying to find a church to go to. This was 1979, and we visited several, and they were all good. But we came here, and a little bit more of a background. I grew up Baptist. Elise grew up Presbyterian. So when we got here, we really loved the setup of the service, the idea that the Lord's Prayer was said, that we recited the Apostles' Creed. Elise loved that occasionally the ministers would wear robes. It reminded her a lot of the Presbyterian church. So it was an easy decision for us. Plus, everybody was so welcoming, it made it very easy. And such great involvement with the Sunday school class, Mizpah, which at that time, that was a new class that Dr. Nelson and Hoyt Wilson had just started, and it was really first called Young Marrieds Without Children, and the only way you could get out of the class was if you had kids. But, of course, we were sort of rebellious, and as everybody had kids, we stayed in the class, so then it became Mizpah. But that's pretty much a little bit of a background of my story.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm wondering about your personal testimony of faith or the Lord's faithfulness in your life. How did you come to Christ, or was that a journey, and how has he walked with you through the years?
Well, it's interesting. It was not a big journey. I grew up in a Christian family. My dad was chairman of the deacons. My mom taught Sunday school. So I grew up pretty much my whole life learning about Jesus, knowing his love for me, really understanding even at that time that he died for me. But I will say, in Bessemer, you know, it's not a big town. And during the 60s, there was a lot of occasions where cities would have citywide revivals. And Bessemer had one at the high school football stadium. And all the different denominational churches in the area helped host it. I don't remember who the preacher was, but one thing that I will never forget is when the invitational hymn came, you know, something happened to me, and something that I really wasn't sure what it was. I did not go down publicly at that time. But that week, I talked with my parents and, you know, told them what I was feeling. I said, well, you know, I think it's time we talk to Brother Paul. That was our preacher. So we did, and it was just a big experience for me. But the one thing I'll never forget is that feeling of the tugging on my heart sitting in that football stadium. I can go today to that stadium, and I could think I could find the seat within two or three where I was sitting when that happened. So it was a big experience for me.
We have the privilege of working on staff with Vince here at the church. But Vince, I want you to tell us a little bit about your professional career and then how you got to Mountain Brook Baptist. And then if you can, tell us what a day is like in your life at Mountain Brook.
It's interesting. My career, and Mary knows this and all the staff, I was a mechanical engineer for 38 years. And I enjoyed that. I really did. It was a great work environment. But I got to the point where I felt I needed to do something a little bit more. And I wanted to do something for Christ. And I wanted to do something for my church. And so I prayed about it. And it's amazing. Maybe about 3 weeks after that happened, I got a call. I was chair of the deacons here at that time. No, excuse me. I was chair of the maintenance committee at that time. And they were going to develop a new post here, a new person to head up maintenance and other things, and they wanted us to interview those candidates. And I knew right then something was going on, and I told the chair of the personnel committee, I said, well, you know, I would love to, but I'm thinking maybe I would like to interview for that. And so I did, and the rest is history. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that God had a plan for that, and he was pulling the strings on that. So I couldn't be happier with the way everything has worked out. The typical time here for me, I guess I can place it best or say it best. When I gave my first report to the deacons my first year here, this was my fifth year here, and I said about the only thing I can tell you to imagine is it's just like if you were at your home and either your kids or your family are telling you stuff you need to work on or fix at the home. Well, multiply that by about 600 or 700, and that's what it's like. But it's great because it's, you know, there are schedules to meet. There are tough decisions to make, both in the engineering world and this one. But it means a lot that it's happening with my church.
We also see you in the choir many Sunday mornings. Tell me about how you joined the choir and your love for music.
My dad sang a lot, so I guess I got that from him, and I really always enjoyed doing it all through, not so much through grade school, but by the time I got to junior high and high school. And so that's just where it developed with me, and I enjoy it so much. Each ministry in this church means a lot to me, but I have to be honest that the music ministry means so much just because of my involvement in it right now.
Do you have any other passions in life, things that you like to do or watch or be involved in?
I love sports, being from the South. I watch it more than anything else because I never was big enough to play it. I grew up playing a lot of golf pretty much every day in my teen years. And playing baseball, coaching baseball, both of my kids in that. So that's pretty much the activity part, but I love reading. And Wayne and I have talked so much about this. We compare books. I try to read a couple of books at a time. I'll probably read a couple of hours a day unless I fall asleep late. But it's really something that helps me relax. I have to pick maybe a fictional book and a historical or biographical book, reading those so I don't get them mixed up. But it's just something that relaxed me. I don't enjoy anything more than that.
Could you give us a couple of recommendations of some books that you have read that you think we've got to read?
I've read so many. I can tell you the two that I'm reading now. One, it's a historical book, not historical fiction. Eric Larson, some of you may have read some of his. He does a lot of historical investigations, and it's called The Splendid and the Vile. It's around World War II. It's in the during the time frame between May of 1940 and May of 1941 when the bombing of London started, and it's centered on Winston Churchill and all that was going on in the background in that. My fiction is one that I've been sharing with Wayne. It's All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. It's a book that my wife, Elise, bought several years ago, and I never picked it up. I just figured it was more for her than me, and she kept trying to tell me that I would enjoy that. So I started reading it maybe about 2.5 weeks ago and finished it last night. It's an awesome book.
One last question. What do you enjoy most about ministry at Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, I've already talked about the music ministry and how I really enjoy all the ministries here at our church. But I really like the feeling of when we have big services here. I love our Christmas Eve candlelight service, our Easter service, Monday, Thursday. It's just a different feeling in the room when you've got a lot of people in there. And one thing I'll describe about one of the Christmas Eve services, some of you listening may remember when Ray Love was minister of music here. And at that time, the choir, we would have an ensemble that would sing behind the wall. So we really wouldn't see the congregation all during the Christmas Eve service. Well, Ray was allergic to Christmas trees, to evergreen. And so Linda, his wife, came up, and it was that afternoon for the Christmas Eve service, says, well, Ray is out. He has migraines when he gets it. He got it from the Christmas tree, so he will not be here tonight. And so she was going to lead the ensemble, and they asked me if I would lead the hymns. And so obviously I would do that. And so everything went fine. All the music went great. I led a couple of hymns, and then, of course, at the end, you're all familiar with Silent Night and lighting the candles and raising the candles. But when it came time for that hymn, I had never been in front of that group. And this was a time when that was the only service we had. And there were literally people sitting in the aisles, like in the balcony. We just couldn't fit everybody in. And so we started the Silent Night, and then on the last verse where we raise our candles, it was nothing I've ever experienced before. And literally, my breath left me, and I had to stop singing. And I recovered in time to finish the song, but I was no good after that. But just seeing that, that's something that our congregation doesn't get to experience, and I had not at that time, but it's something that I will never, ever forget for the rest of my life.
It is such a wonderful image to see the light of Christ going forward. Thank you, Vince, for being with us today. Would you lead us in prayer as we close the podcast today?
Well, thank you for having me, for giving this opportunity. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just praise your holy name. We are so blessed, and that you look out for us means so much to us, and that you look out for others is the hope that we have. And that they can be drawn to us, and we can be a difference in their lives, and just spread your word to them, to our community. Lord, it just means so much, your involvement with us. We pray that you be with us this Sunday, and forgive us when we disappoint you, and that happens so often, and we're so sorry, but just we know that we have your forgiveness through Christ Jesus, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.